This is an Alert USA Threat Journal, Homeland Security Weekly Update for Saturday, March 16, 2024. This week in security news, a number of concerning hearings took place this week before Congress, each revealing the wide range of threats facing the U.S. homeland and our citizens and interests abroad. Starting on Monday, the Senate Intelligence Committee held its annual hearing on worldwide threats to American security. The hearings are held in conjunction with the release of the intelligence community's annual written threat assessment. First up, of note were some of the opening comments of Director of National Intelligence Avril Haines related to the ramifications of the ongoing conflict in the Middle East. Here's Director Haines.
This crisis in Gaza is a stark example of how regional developments have the potential for broader and even global implications. Now, having lasted for more than 5 months, the Gaza conflict has roiled the Middle East with renewed instability, presenting new security paradigms and humanitarian challenges while pulling in a range of actors. The conflict has prompted new dynamics, even as it has entrenched old ones. We continue to assess that Hezbollah and Iran do not want to cause an escalation of the conflict that pulls us or them into a full-out war. Yet the Houthis entered the war and were willing to do so without Iran acting first, becoming one of the most aggressive actors in the conflict. And the Iranian-aligned militia groups in Iraq and Syria that have been attacking our forces and have been more focused on the United States than Israel, using the conflict as an opportunity to pursue their own agenda. Moreover, the crisis has galvanized violence by a range of actors around the world, and while it is too early to tell, it is likely that the Gaza conflict will have a generational impact on terrorism. Both Al-Qaeda and ISIS, inspired by Hamas, have directed supporters to conduct attacks against Israeli and U.S. interests, and we have seen how it is inspiring individuals to conduct acts of anti-Semitism and Islamophobic terror worldwide.
Further into the hearing, FBI Director Chris Wray laid out some of the threats emanating from the situation along the U.S.-Mexico border while under questioning from Senator Marco Rubio. Here's that clip.
Director Wray, we know that over the last 3 years, millions of people crossed the U.S. border illegally and many have been released into the country. Have members or people with ties to dangerous gangs, like, for example, the prison gang Tren de Aragua from Venezuela, were they among the people that came into this country?
I don't know that I can speak to the specific gang, but certainly we have had dangerous individuals enter the United States of a variety of sorts.
Are we seeing crimes from people that entered the country over the last 3 years, some of them with ties to gangs or other criminal organizations?
Well, I guess what I would say is this. From an FBI perspective, we are seeing a wide array of very dangerous threats that emanate from the border, and that includes everything from the drug trafficking. The FBI alone seized enough fentanyl in the last 2 years to kill 270 million people. That's just on the fentanyl side. An awful lot of the violent crime in the United States is at the hands of gangs who are themselves involved in the distribution of that fentanyl.
You're also seeing and tracking local law enforcement arresting and for example, the assault on the police officers in New York. All the reporting said they had ties to this gang in particular, but there's no doubt that people that were criminals in their country of origin have crossed that border and are now in the U.S. committing crimes.
Correct.
Is there now a black market emerging to sell? We've seen reports of a black market emerging selling fake Social Security cards, fake green cards. Have you seen reporting on that?
Well, certainly there is on the dark net, for example, there is a significant marketplace for different kinds of stolen identity.
What about in the street?
I think as well.
Yeah. Okay. And there are smuggling networks all over the world that specialize in moving people from all over the world, including from the Middle East, Central Asia, and so forth. Are we aware of any of these smuggling organizations are run by or are conducted by people that have ties, for example, to ISIS or other terrorist organizations?
So I want to be a little bit careful how far I can go in open session, but there is a particular network where some of the overseas facilitators of the smuggling network have ISIS ties that we're very concerned about and that we've been spending an enormous amount of effort with our partners investigating. Exactly what that network is up to is something that's, again, the subject of our current investigation.
But there is a network we're concerned about that has facilitators involved in it that have ties to ISIS and
Correct.
Other terrorist organizations.
Correct.
And still later in the hearing, Director Wray further outlined the scope of the overall terrorist threat facing the nation while being questioned by Senator John Ossoff of Georgia.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you to our panel. Director Wray, I believe you noted this earlier, but do you share my view that the threat of terrorism associated with unlawful entry through the southern border poses a serious threat to U.S. national security?
I've testified repeatedly that we are concerned about the terrorism implications from potential targeting of vulnerabilities at the border.
How would you assess the present level of threat and risk of a terrorist attack in the United States compared to past periods during your tenure?
Well, even before October 7th, I would have told this committee that we were at a heightened threat level from a terrorism perspective, in the sense that it's the first time I've seen in a long, long time the threats from homegrown violent extremists, that is, jihadist-inspired extremists, domestic violent extremists, foreign terrorist organizations, and state-sponsored terrorist organizations all being elevated at one time. Since October 7th, though, that threat has gone to a whole nother level. And so this is a time, I think, for much greater vigilance than has maybe been called upon of us before October 7th.
Is the FBI postured to understand the extent of the terrorist threat associated with the southern border? We've been briefed on some specific threats. Do you feel that you know enough to assure us that the FBI is as well across it as you can be, or do you need more resources, or do you feel you're flying blind and not able to define the potential scope and extent of the threat?
I think we are working very hard with our partners, but there's no question that we need more resources to combat the threat. I'll just give a concrete example. Through working with DHS, they collect DNA samples, and we provide kits to DHS to collect DNA samples from the people coming across the border that then get sent to the FBI lab. That's part of why we asked for a significant enhancement, because of the sheer increase in people coming across means a sheer increase in the number of samples that need to be collected. That's what helps us identify those people if they're then committing crime somewhere in the United States, or, as happens all too often, unfortunately, they go back across the border and try to illegally reenter again. So we need to be able to process those samples quickly. There's a backlog. We asked in the 24 budget for enhancement. Not only did we not get enhancement, there was a 10% cut to the terrorist screening center. So whatever happened in 24 happened in 24, but I would urge Congress, as we look at fiscal year 25, that we can't double down on those cuts if we're going to be serious about protecting the border.
Also this week, during a Senate Armed Services Committee posture hearing, the new head of Northern Command and NORAD, Air Force General Gregory Gio, stunned committee members while responding to a question about the growing problem with unmanned aircraft systems along the U.S.-Mexico border. Here's a clip of General Gio under questioning from Senator Ted Budd of North Carolina.
Thank you both for being here, by the way. It's my understanding there have been a lot of drone incursions along our southern border. How many drone incursions have we had, and what are they doing?
Senator, the number of incursions was something that was alarming to me as I took command last month. I don't know the actual number. I don't think anybody does, but it's in the thousands. I have talked to Customs and Border Protection, who are responsible for the UAS incursions and in the border, along with DOJ, and they put the number at thousands.
Over what period of time is that thousands?
I would say in the probably over a month. We could probably have over 1,000 a month.
General, do they, in your view, represent a homeland defense threat?
Senator, they alarm me from being the person responsible for homeland defense. I haven't seen any of them manifest in a threat to the level of national defense, but I see the potential only growing.
Links to each of the various hearings, transcripts, as well as the unclassified version of the intelligence community's annual threat assessment can be found in this week's issue of the Threat Journal email newsletter. Next up, on Wednesday morning, AlertUSA subscribers were notified of the deployment of a U.S. Marine Fleet Anti-Terrorism Security Team to reinforce the U.S. Embassy in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, according to a statement by U.S. Southern Command. Quote, at the request of the Department of State, the U.S. Southern Command deployed a U.S. Marine Fleet Anti-Terrorism Security Team to maintain strong security capabilities at the U.S. Embassy in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, and to conduct relief in place for our current Marines a common and routine practice worldwide. The U.S. Embassy remains open and limited operations continue, focused on assistance to U.S. citizens and supporting Haitian-led efforts to secure a peaceful transition of power, unquote. In travel security news and related to the situation in Haiti, on Wednesday, State Department spokesman Matt Miller was asked if the U.S. was planning any type of evacuation assistance to those Americans still in Haiti. His response highlights why heeding State Department travel guidance is particularly important. Here's Matt Miller.
No, we are not planning for any, we are not actively planning for any evacuation. And I would remind you and others that Haiti has been a level 4 country with respect to our travel advisor since 2020. So what that means is for 4 years, we have been telling Americans, do not go to Haiti. Do not travel there. It's not safe to do so. And for those who are there, leave as soon as you can feasibly do so without putting yourself at risk.
So you don't anticipate, or put it this way, so no plans to evacuate as of now. Do you anticipate there may be some support for evacuation for those few hundred or however many there are?
We will always provide information to American citizens that reach out to us when we can do so. For example, if there's information about the operations at the airport that becomes available, we'll make that known to Americans who reach out to us. But we are not actively planning for any evacuation, no.
Listeners are once again reminded that multiple European nations have increased their terrorism threat levels since the start of the war between Israel and Hamas. In addition, the Muslim holy month of Ramadan began this week. Historically, Ramadan is a time of fasting, prayers, and good deeds. It's also a time of martyrdom and attacks on one's enemies. If you are heading outside of the U.S. for business or pleasure in the coming month, you would be wise to maintain a high level of situational awareness when in public. Listeners are also reminded that a U.S. State Department worldwide caution is in effect, warning of the potential for terrorist attacks, demonstrations, or other violent actions against U.S. citizens and interests globally. The State Department is urging U.S. citizens who are outside of the country to exercise increased caution, particularly in locations frequented by tourists, and to get registered with the U.S. Embassy or consulate in the country you are in or planning to visit. This is as simple as visiting the Smart Traveler Enrollment Program website at step.state.gov. In addition to U.S. government travel guidance, it's also highly useful to visit the equivalent websites of the Canadian, Australian, and UK governments to see what those nations have to say about your destination, as the content of security assessments can and do vary widely. Links to those foreign government sites can also be found in the weekly Threat Journal email newsletter. If you are not a Threat Journal subscriber, simply visit threatjournal.com to sign up. The publication is free, and a copy of this week's issue will be immediately sent to you via email. If you would like to receive Homeland Security-related threat and incident alerts on your mobile device, such as those mentioned in this podcast, visit alertsusa.com. AlertsUSA continues to monitor the overall domestic and international threat environment and will immediately notify service subscribers via SMS messages and email of breaking incidents of national significance, as well as any new alerts, warnings, or advisories impacting the overall threat picture for American citizens as events warrant. This has been an AlertsUSA Threat Journal, Homeland Security Weekly Update for Saturday, March 16th, 2024.